And let us bow together in prayer. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, this past Thursday evening, Belport High School once again had its annual graduation ceremonies. And yesterday, I attended a similar ceremony for graduating seniors at the Garden City High School, where my grandnephew Joe Vione graduated. I've always found commencements most interesting, whether they be for graduating high school students or whether they be for graduating college students, because they represent both the ending point and a beginning point in someone's life. The diploma that is given signifies the completion of a course of study, a time to celebrate that some educational requirements were met either easily or with difficulty, but nonetheless got met. There's kind of a sigh of relief for both the student and for the students and for sometimes teachers as well. A time also to wonder what this day means in terms of what is yet to come. For many, the diploma will be a key to open the door of opportunity for the student. The high school diploma opening some doors and the college diploma opening still others. It's nice to know that something has really been completed, something you can check off as having been done. It's finished. It gives you a sense of satisfaction. And yet we call this event in someone's life not only graduation, but commencement. To commence is to begin. Commencement is an event to mark a beginning, and for many graduating today, or any other day this month for that matter, the commencing part is really the difficult part. I remember in a prayer that I gave at a commencement a few years ago, I said, commence to do what? And of course, all the graduating students giggled at that point, but also took it quite seriously. You see, for some high school graduate, it means going on for some further education at a college or at a university, and with all the questions and with all the wonderment that entails. For some high school graduates, and certainly for many college graduates, it means landing a job, or at least searching for one and hoping to land one and then helping to make it to that job. And certainly there are a lot of questions and no doubt plenty of doubts, plenty of worry that gets combined for graduation. For those who really wonder, commence to do what? For many people, it's also a time to get married. And that's also a commencement. That's the beginning, and certainly there's a lot of questions and wondering in that act as well, which even love for the other individual cannot cover over. When I think of commencements in any area of life, I think of launching out on a course uncharted. For that high school student, it is impossible, no matter how much planning has preceded this day of commencement, to really know what lies ahead. And for the college student also, and any one of you who has been married for some time can confess that on that commencement day, that wedding day, however many years ago it was, there was no way of knowing what might lie ahead. I'll never forget a conversation I had one time with a Roman Catholic priest concerning the grounds for annulment of marriage within Roman Catholic law and practice. Whereas the only grounds used to be adultery and infidelity, now there's a clause that indicates that if the party didn't fully realize what he or she was getting into, that is grounds for annulment. And I told the good priest that I don't know of a single couple, no matter how long they've known each other before their marriage, no matter how much counseling they went through, would ever know what that course is going to entail, no matter how much planning, no how much worrying. I'll let you in on a secret. Every time I conduct a wedding, I have my fingers crossed, hoping, as they begin a course uncharted. Let me give you another kind of example. This past Wednesday, I took one of my colleagues to lunch. The Reverend Ann McAnally, who has served the congregations of East Mauritius and Bremsenburg, is completing her ministry there today. And this week she moves to California to accept a call to a congregation there and commence a new ministry. And when we had lunch on Wednesday, we spoke about the joys and some disappointments in the position that she's now leaving. But our focus was much more on what it means for her to commence a new ministry, with some of the specific challenges and possibility that that ministry offers. But she strikes out on a course unknown. Our two scripture lessons for this morning speak in this matter of a future unknown, of a course uncharted. In our gospel lesson, Jesus is giving instructions to his disciples, trying to prepare them for what it will be like when they are without his leadership, when he is no longer going to be a physical presence in their midst. In fact, he tries to prepare them for this fact that probably all will not be smooth sailing for them, nor should they expect it to be. He tells them, "I don't even know what lies ahead for me." And is the disciples above the teacher? Jesus says, "My course is uncharted, and so it is with yours, and yet here's the gospel in this whole thing. Here is the good news that makes it possible to go on no matter what." Jesus says to his disciples, "Our Heavenly Father will take care of you. God takes care of the sparrows of the air. Are you not of more value than the sparrows?" For the disciples, there was a type of graduation that took place. They spent 3 years under the tutelage of their rabbi, their teacher, Jesus. They learned much from him, even though they realized there was so much more to learn and so much that they didn't understand. Isn't that true of any course of education? And now when Jesus leaves them, they will be on their own. And they will graduate from being under his instruction and discipline. They will commence life on their own, and they will commence a course uncharted. And though the way ahead might often prove difficult, maybe ununderstandable, yet God will be with them. And then there's this story from the Old Testament, a story so familiar to us of Jacob being banished from home and striking out on his own as he makes his way to live with his uncle Laban. He's probably scared to death. This young man, probably never having been away from home before, always before being in the security of his home and in the presence of his overly protective mother. He's going to commence a new life, whether he's ready for it or not. And he's certainly in the dark about what this will mean. A journey lies before him, but it is, of course, uncharted. It's a course that could prove most lonely, maybe even difficult, may even lead to personal disaster. And then there is also the possibility of a future bright with possibilities at this point unknown. In that situation, he lies down to think it all through again. Probably, no doubt, prays. No doubt, having trouble getting asleep. And he has that marvelous experience. Angels, those messengers of God, ascending. By the way, watch the movement there. Angels not descending, angels ascending, which kind of says the angels have been there all the time. Angels ascending and then descending down the ladder. A ladder stretched up to heaven, but certainly finding its groundwork just where Jacob is. And finding comfort in that experience of the angel's presence. And Jacob is able to declare, "The Lord is in this place, and I didn't even realize it." I think the reason that that story has always had its appeal for us is that it describes an experience that we hold in common with Jacob. This being able to pronounce the fact that God is there when we didn't even realize it. During the years that I served as Protestant chaplain at C.W. Post College, in addition to being the pastor at Community Church in Merritt, at the first worship service that I had with incoming students each fall, I would use this story of Jacob to have them reflect on what it meant for students to leave a very familiar place and now experience being there in the dark, just as was Jacob, being in the dark as to what might lie ahead. And in that service, I would offer each student a smooth rock on which I encourage them to write, "The Lord is in this place." And to underline the word "this." The Lord is in this place. I encourage them to use that rock as a type of paperweight for their desk. And that whenever they went through times of loneliness or even doubt about the decision they made to leave home and to come to this particular place and be engaged in a new setting for 2 years or for 4 years on a course uncharted, to look again at the promise on that rock. Several of those students still had their rock to pack with their other belongings when they graduated and moved on to the next chapter in their life, ready to commence all over again. Life is full of endings and new beginnings. And though it's sometimes hard to bring closure to things in our lives, it's even harder to move on, to commence, to begin something new and different. Yes, graduation and commencement lifts up for us some very strong emotions, a way to say thank you for what has been and to rejoice in all that has gone before, while at the same time saying yes to what lies before us, even when it's uncharted and unknown. And even as graduations and commencements take place in our personal lives, so too they can take place in the life of institutions. Even this institution, Old South Haven Presbyterian Church. In a way, today is graduation day, commencement day. It really is the end of a program year. As we move into the month of July, we realize, in a sense, that we've left behind a year, along with our high school students and other students, and having a period to go through as we get ready to energize ourselves to whatever happens when we get to September. Hopefully it's a time when we do some planning, some thinking, and certainly try to fire up some enthusiasm as we launch on to another program year. Are we willing to move forward? Are we willing to commence on a course uncharted because we rest assured in the promise and the experience that we've had? Though I'm with you always, even unto the end. So may we, like Jacob, declare boldly, the Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this situation. The Lord is in this happening. Let us bow together in prayer. Eternal God, we rejoice for both endings and beginnings in our lives. Oh Father, we say thank you for what has been, even as we rejoice in what might lie ahead, willing to commence on that course uncharted, because you promise you are there every step of the way. And in you we find the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.